Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. It's Woods Weird Wellness. That's a podcast that I have, and that's its name. I'm Wood. Today we're talking to Lilith. You can find them on Twitter at Lilith is Fat, and also on Instagram under the same name too. They are a non-binary sex worker. They are a leftist, a fetist, a bimbo. And we had a lot of really cool discussions about, God, like so many things. We talked about their journey and their experience as a sex worker and how they went about integrating their fetus fetish and kind of the thought process they had behind that when they were going through it, as well as just a bunch of other really cool things like being a bimbo, how that's radical, as well as how fetism is radical, and just a whole bunch of cool stuff about the community and what it's like being a sex worker while being a fetus and getting to share that fetish with the same people who also share your fetish. So we had a really cool time. We talked a lot, and we ended up talking well over an hour, and I edited this podcast to have a part one and a part two. So this is the first part where we get to know just a little bit about Lilith and their history as a fetishist and a sex worker, as well as all of the different fetishes they have and their philosophies on all those fetishes and how it turns into this great, awesome, like melting pot of really cool knowledge. So I'm super excited for you guys to listen to this one. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this. As always, you can find Lilith at, I will say again, Lilith is Fat on Twitter as well as on Instagram. And I believe their OnlyFans, you can get there by typing onlylilith.com. into your search bar. So if you are into what they're saying and you want to see their content, that is the place to go. Thank you everybody for listening, and for all of the nice messages you guys send me. I read them and I really appreciate them. And yeah, I'm glad that weird musings on kinks, people are into that. I'm glad you guys are into that. So yeah, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe and do a review. And I think there's other things you can do for podcasts that helps them. Don't feel pressured. Like, this is all kind of just like a passion project. Like, it's fine. But doing so does like put us up in like the ratings, the podcast ratings, I guess. I don't know. If you're into it, you can do it. Or, you know, if you're just driving your car and you don't have the time to do it, I'm not going to be mad if you don't. So yeah, I just hope you guys enjoy. And, yeah, I think just from here on out, I've noticed that I'll say a bunch of stuff about what the next episode is going to be like and what I want to do and like share my ideas about like, hey, hit me up and we'll make a podcast about this. But I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm not really good at holding myself accountable when it comes to like that kind of deadline. Cause like, I really wanted to do like that witchcraft episode on fetism in time for Halloween, but that didn't happen. And one of these days I will do it, but it's not going to happen, in the next couple episodes. So sorry to get your hopes up, but that's further in the future. So yeah, that's all I got to say. That's all the housekeeping I need to do is just don't trust me when I say I'm going to do things by a certain time. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't expose myself like that. But anyways, unprofessionalism aside, please enjoy this podcast. It is so super cool. And if you like what you hear, hit up Lilith and ask them for custom clips because they are super cool and super tapped into like a bunch of really cool fetishes. So yeah, without further ado, enjoy.
everyone. So we're here with Lilith, also known as Lilith is Fat on Twitter. They are a non-binary sex worker, a fetus, and anarchist bimbo. So hi, Lilith. How's it going?
Hi. It's going really good today. How are you? Glad to be here.
I'm doing good. We were just talking about how, like, time differences and, like, sleeping late and all that kind of stuff. But we're here and we've got this.
Yes. Show is on the road.
Yes. So if we want to just, like, jump in, I always ask everyone, like, what their fetus origin story is, like, how they got to fetism and, like, you know, what, just, like, how you got here and, like, what's your story?
So I feel like mine is kind of like a boring one because I had a lot of desires and like cravings and stuff that came like first before I, you know, knew what fetism was or that it existed at all. I was always into, like, you know, for as long as I can remember, like, honestly, going back really far into, like, overeating and, like, bloating stuff. And I had, like I really liked, like, macro and, like, micro fetish stuff and messiness and whatnot. And then I was literally, like, I was going through this list, like, this big master kink list, that I Googled on the internet and I was like marking down all of these, you know, like kinks and stuff that I like liked and whatnot. And then the website like recommended me this, you know, fetish called like fetism. And I like started reading about it, on this like forum. And I was like, what? The like, whoa, like, oh my god, this is like, it's like an umbrella of literally like all of the, like this like 10, 12 different things that I'm into, all like encompassed in this like one word. And I was literally just like mind blown, like whoa, like where has that word, like where has that word been, where has this all been, like I'm just, you know, like amazed by it. So yeah, internet. So thankful for the internet.
My god, I totally feel you. That's basically like kind of how I like my origin is. I know a lot of people like, you know, end up stumbling like upon it on like a fantasy feeder situation, but like with me, I feel like I've always had like those like kind of random like desires that seemed kind of like disparate until I was like on Tumblr and I saw what the word was and I saw that it was a thing. I'm like, oh, so like this is what it's called, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel that. And like Matt with like macro and micro fetish too, I feel like a lot of people do have that fetish like in fetism and just like general, because it's like a lot of people say that fetism is like under the size kink umbrella, which I only kind of recently heard was like kind of also its own little umbrella. So like that makes sense that you would be into like macro and micro and as well as fetism and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm like, it's actually funny that like I having like the branding that I do and stuff, like my branding of sex work being like very fetus and whatnot, I have, you know, like made posts in the past and whatnot, like early on, like, you know, like while, like a while ago about, you know, like size stuff and like macro and like micro fetish and whatnot. And, you know, like have like people who like follow me because they're into like macro and micro stuff who over time have grown to, like marry components of fetism in with their like pre-existing like macro fetish, and I think that's really awesome. Like the people who like never like had like a fetism fetish before, but who like just had, you know, like the macro micro fetish, and through like, you know, being exposed to like my content and like the way that I do fetism and stuff, they've been able to like marry components of them, and I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, because it like makes sense too, because it's like, you know, especially people who are into like giantess stuff or like Vor stuff. Like, it's just, especially with Vor, it like very much vibes because it's like all bellies and stuff. And I know a lot of people who are super into SSBBWs like love giantess and love like macro and micro. Because, I mean, like, who doesn't love, like, a giant woman,
Absolutely. And then it's, like, I feel like with, you know, macro and micro stuff, a lot of it, you know, is, like, very, you know, fantastical and, you know, like, sci-fi and whatnot. But when you are able to, like, combine components of fetism in with, like, macro and micro fetish, a lot of the stuff that, you know, like, we're into in those fetishes can become things that are, like, realistic if you like marry components of fetism, like, you know, because you do quite literally, you know, like, get to watch someone grow instead of it being like, you know, a fantastical thing. You can make it a reality.
That makes so much sense. That's so cool. What are some of your like your other fetishes that you have?
I do like BDSM a lot, like all components of it, into bondage, into sadism, masochism, role play. I really like I think I might have mentioned earlier, like tight clothes, but I do like rubber, latex, leather, stuff like that. I have like a big voyeurism exhibition kink. Body function stuff. I say body function as a whole because, like, honestly, quite literally any of them, I am able to eroticize in some way. So, yeah. Like, all of that. Yeah.
So, when it comes to, like, your other fetishes, did they kind of pop up the same way that fetism did? Like, are your origins with those similar, or did they do they kind of have their own, like, specific little story?
See, some of them, it's some of them were, you know, pre-existing things. I mean, honestly, I attribute to a lot of like the learning that I've done and fetishes that I've developed to the internet, honestly, like being exposed to stuff. And then just being like, I like that. Like that looks good. That sounds fun. But then also, you know, like, because I had a fetism fetish from early on. And like, you know, once I did like discover that word and like, the niche and like all of the things that it encompassed, it did start to like make me able to develop some other parts of it. So like my tight clothes fetish like definitely like ties into like my fetism a lot. You know, role play definitely leans into it a lot. Exhibition for sure, like absolutely. Like I didn't really like get much into exhibition until like I started getting really secure like with my like fetism fetish once I had like, you know, discovered that. Definitely like the bodily function one, that was one that came after. It was like fetism, and then I was really into that, and then I was like, oh, there's this other part of it that I like also really, really like too. So yeah, no, some of it's like were things that I just learned and saw, but then a lot of them were things that developed after I, you know, like started getting more comfortable with my fetism and learning more about the components that exist within fetism, because there are so many of them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, especially once you like know what the name is for it. It's almost like a lot of things branch off from it once you realize, okay, this is fetism, which like very just broadly is just kind of like, you know, you feeding other people feeding you feeding yourself, gaining weight. But like within that, there's so many things, especially with like the tight clothes, because I don't think a lot of people would consider that as like, you know, a fetish in and of itself, but like I definitely do, because that was like one of the first ways fetishism like showed up for me was with like noticing that my clothes were getting tight.
And it's just, you know, and there are so many other like components of like tight, like not even just like tight clothes, but you know, like then you get into like latex and like rubber and vinyl and stuff that like clings to people, and the way that like stuff looks on like fat people, oh my goodness. God. oh
Right?
Like, yeah, and it's just, you know, so yeah, tight clothes, definitely a whole fetish in and of itself that you can even branch off of and go into, like, deeper, like, subsets of that fetish in and of itself.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into, like, the my next question, which was, like, how your other fetishes, like, interact with your fetishism fetish. Do, like, most of your fetish kind of, like fetishes with like, BDSM and that kind of stuff, they kind of just go in and out, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it is a very fluid thing for me. Because, you know, having been, you know, into fetishism for as long as I have been, I'm really fortunate that I did, you know, like, learn the term for it when I did, so I could, you know, start learning more. I do genuinely feel like it's really just, like, an honestly very fluid and comfortable part of my, like, inherent sexuality. So even if I'm not, like, even if I'm not, like, attempting to ingrain elements of fetishism into, like, other parts of kink, you know, a lot of times it just happens. Yeah. Because it's just, you know, like, that's just what I'm about, which is also why I, you know, like, I, like, wasn't originally, like, branded as fetus when I started, like, sex work, but over time I did shift things up because it's just, like, it's way more natural for me.
Yeah, it's just who you are. That reminds me of, like, a tweet that you had, I think maybe, like, about a week ago, about how, like, it was very, it's very natural for you to be, like, you know, a fetus in that, in regards to your sex work, where it's, like, you... It was, like, something about you getting so much joy from people, like, you know, sending you money to eat food so you can get softer and fatter and, like, you know, hotter and, like, that. Do you kind of remember that tweet? I'm totally, like, butchering what you said.
Yeah, no. Me, like, being a fetus sex worker, to me, like, you know, like, I, like, obviously we live under capitalism. This is my job. Like, I work, I do what I gotta do, you know. But being a fetus sex worker, honestly, like, genuinely, I feel like opens up so much for me just based off of the fact that, like, it's something that I do, like, so genuinely enjoy and, like, mm-hmm. like love. Like, so it's, like, you know, getting paid to, like, stuff myself or, like, do anything, like, like, fetism adjacent. It's, like, that's really awesome because, like, great, like, I made money for, like, my phone bill that I need to pay next week, but at the same time, I'm hype because, like, someone wants to watch me, like, do something that I love doing, and, like, that makes me feel good to do, so it's just, like, dopamine all around. Like, I'm doing my job, I'm doing something that makes me feel good. It makes me feel good that somebody else is enjoying it, gonna get to enjoy me enjoying it. So it's just, like, all around. Like, I love it. And it 100% makes me, like, love my job more, like, being a fetus sex worker and, like, knowing, like, that's what I'm about.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way. It is, like, job satisfaction to the max when I get to, like, enjoy that with other people. So how did you get started with sex work, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh yeah, don't mind at all. So I was just working, I worked, like, in service industry for a while. I didn't, like, hate my job or anything, but I was developed, like, I'd been developing skills over time with my, like, photography, with, like, interacting with my, like, community more in terms of, like, fetishism and whatnot, because I was, you know, like, totally, you know, this has been, like, years and years and years after I developed my fetishism fetish, so, like, mm-hmm. I was interacting with the community more. I had been developing, like, my skills that were sort of adjacent to sex, and then I made a couple close friends in the industry, and one of them actually recommended to me, because when I was, like, venting to them about, like, hating my job, they recommended to me, or just suggested that I, like, try it, and I was, like, hesitant because, you know, like, I just, you know, I was just, like, vibing and enjoying myself, you know, being in the community, interacting the way that I was. And then I went on a trip to visit one of my friends, and we filmed a couple of fetus clips together. We did like some like food stuffings with each other, and did like some body worship and like belly play and whatnot. And I had such a good time. They were like customs for someone that I was just helping her with. And I had such a good time. And she, like, you know, gave me a cut of like what she made like from the custom. And I was just like, honestly, I had totally forgotten that I was going to get like paid for what I was doing, because I just had such a good time. Like, I was genuinely just enjoying myself so much. And then she gave me money for it. And I was just like, oh my God, like, that was such a good time. I loved doing that. Like, every second of that was incredible. Like, I want more of that. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And then I was like, then I tried it. I was camming first. I was just, you know, doing live cam when I first started sex work.
Yeah, I can understand like that. It's such a rush, honestly, whenever you like are able to do something like really, really fun, especially when it comes to customs, because I always find customs like super fun. Mm-hmm. And then like it's the icing on top of the cake to just like, oh, and now I have money. It's just like the best feeling.
Yeah, I already had so much fun. And then it was just like, nice.
Yeah. So it sounds like even if fetism wasn't like kind of a part of your brand to start off with, that's like how you started sex work. That was like the birthing point, basically. Very fetus-y.
Absolutely. If I wasn't on, you know, like fetus websites and like interacting with like fetus community and, you know, making the friends that I did that were, you know, fetus sex workers, I definitely maybe at some point something else would have happened that would have spurred it, but as it is now, fetism is what got me, it's what got me here.
Yeah,
so I do think awesome. Like, it's a natural progression that, you know, like my brand did end up, you know, becoming a fetus one.
Yeah, and that makes sense, especially because if you start with live camming too, because I started with like clips. I started basically pretty much fetus because like I started off on Tumblr and I kind of like fell into making clips. Mm-hmm. But from what I know from like the camming that I've done, it's you kind of start off just as like almost this blank slate for people, where people come into your cam room and then they're like, I'm into this, and then I'll take you private, or let's do this type of show. So it's a little bit less. I mean, once you kind of get more of an audience, you're able to be a little bit more creative with it. Mm-hmm. But once you start off, it's a little bit more general. So I can totally understand like starting off fetus and then kind of getting a feel for sex work through camming and then coming back to what you love afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was a really natural progression. I was, you know, like when I did start and I was doing like camming stuff, first and foremost, it was very, you know, like general, like I wasn't really doing like much fetus stuff, sometimes occasionally. But for the most part, it was just really general. And then, a lot of that was also by my own design. Like when I started sex work, I actually like deleted like some of my profiles on stuff. I have like this complex. Like, I had, like, a complex in the beginning. I don't really anymore. I had a complex in the beginning, though. I was afraid that if I, being a person who had been, you know, like, in the community and stuff, and, like, wasn't a sex worker before, had transitioned to becoming a sex worker, like, in the same way, like, I was afraid that people would think that I was attempting to, like, commodify, like, fetism and, like, you know, the way that I had felt, in a way that was like malicious and harmful. And I didn't want people to like think that. So I was like, okay, like I'm gonna like make like a separate entity that's like for that stuff, and like do like my sex work and whatnot. But then over time, I realized that like sex work is work. like I'm doing a job, that my feelings about fetism, the way that I feel about it, my community, the people involved in it is genuine and real, and that my intentions with, you know, like my work, with the way that I interact with my community is, you know, entirely genuine, so I don't have to separate those elements. Like, they can be one. Like, I can be like a fetus sex worker. I don't have to separate, like, this is me like being into fetism and this is my sex work. It can be both. Like, it can be all of it at once.
Yeah. And it's kind of wild. And we're definitely going to touch on more of this like later in, as the interview goes on, but just, it's really wild to me how recently, and this is like almost such a recent occurrence of just in the past couple years, how a lot of the fetus community has been really kind of riled up against quote unquote commodifying fetism, or like saying fetism like isn't transactional and stuff. Because when I was first starting out, at least on Tumblr, it was almost just kind of a given, I guess, that if you started to make content and stuff, you would then like put it on a clip site or get like a pay site, and then you know, have people like be customers or clients through there. Because at least from the beginning of like BBW modeling, like that's kind of where fetism got a little bit more popular on the internet, at least from what I've heard from like talking with like Renee Starr and like Ivy Davenport, who were, you know, kind of at least there during the start of like Clips for Sale and a lot of other like pay sites. So that's kind of like, you know, from the very beginning, fetism was very much tied with sex work. And I think now that the community's gotten bigger and a little bit more like social media-y, like people are very much like, fetism is not transactional. Like, they're very, I mean, it's gotten to be a little anti-sex work, honestly.
Absolutely. Super. And it's unfortunate because it's like, I can understand, because it's like a lot of the things that people say in terms of like, you know, judging the transactional nature of fetism or whatever, some of the things they say, I can understand why they would feel that way. But then it's just like the feelings that they have then lead to like these conclusions that like aren't the right, like it's not like, yes, you know, like it shouldn't be a thing that people feel like discarded and mistreated if they don't have, you know, means to, you know, spend money on content. You shouldn't feel like an unworthy fetus. You shouldn't feel like you're not, you know, like you don't have anything to offer if you're not offering money. But at the same time, people will like go, like they'll have those feelings and be like, well, I feel like this way. And then we'll go like, and that's like sex workers' fault. Like it's like, and that means like they shouldn't be like, they shouldn't charge for it. And it's like, hey, no, the feeling that you have is valid, but that's not our fault. And we're not trying to like foster that environment. So it's just, you know, it's unfortunate because it's like, you know, I understand a lot of the feelings they'll have, but, you know, then it just gets like channeled in a way that's like so unhealthy. And it's just like, this is not helping. Like, we need to figure out a way to like make both of the things like coexist. Because, like, you know, I don't want to like invalidate anybody's feelings. And I don't like it when people feel, you know, like they don't have a place in something because of not having means, especially, you know, being like a super heavy anti-capitalist. Like, I don't ever want someone to feel like their worth and their, you know, like anyone being interested in like what they have to offer ties directly into like their economic status. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, I don't want my community and like people like me to be villainized for, you know,
just like living, just fucking people, working, like, yeah,
for doing our jobs. Yeah. You know, but I think those two things can coexist.
Yeah, definitely. It's very, people are very black and white with it, it seems, at least nowadays. And I feel the exact same way, because I don't think there should be like, people shouldn't gatekeep fetism of saying like, if you can't pay, then you're not gonna, you can't, you know, be a part of fetism. It's not like FinDom, you know, it doesn't have it's not inherently about the money. But like you said, at the same time, like, there's still no reason to, like, have such a huge backlash against sex workers, especially because there are, like, so many ways, especially in this fetish particularly, to engage with it without having to pay anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's so much art, there's so much, you know, fic, there's so many people who do, like, make, like, free content. So it's not it's not like we're, you know, hard up for free fetism content, you know, or talking with your community.
Also, you know, like, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like a lot of people will sometimes, like, cast aspersions on, like, the entire community when they haven't really done the work that's, like, required to, like, to get what they're, like, trying to get out of it. Like, having, like only, you know, like, it's hard to, like, say, like, nobody, like everybody is just in it for this, like, everybody is just doing this, and it's, like, you know, like, how much of you actually, like, you know, genuinely engaged? Have you actually, like, attempted to, like, do the work? Because I know, like, I was, you know, involved and, you know, did things. I wasn't, you know, like, at, like, you know, throwing money. I was, you know, I've been a poor person, like, forever, so, but, you know, like, there are ways to actively engage and, like, genuinely, like, be to places that you want to be a part of without, you know, just, like, throwing money around. Like, you know, gotta be a Daddy Warbucks or nothing. You just gotta be, like, genuine. And I just think, like, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people just have, like, a stigma in their head about it, and, you know, unfortunately just get really in their heads about stuff and not, you know, communicate, like, healthily enough what their desires are and, like, what they, you know, want out of stuff. Because, I don't know, like, it's, we're all just people. We're all just people. We're not, you know, machines.
Yeah, and it just, it's really hard, I think, when it comes to being in a community that's, like, kind of around kink and fetish and stuff. I think maybe some people are they feel a little weird about being a little bit more social or talking with more people or spending the time. Because, like, God knows with my fucking, like, autistic ass, when I first was into this fetish, I went on, like, research spree, like, trying to find as much, like, fix as I can, trying to find all the art that I can. And I think maybe that's, like, not really applicable. Maybe not everybody does that the same way, where they feel maybe a little bit more maybe more bashful about, like, doing huge wide internet searches for, like, exactly what they're looking for. And especially now that we have, like, Phoebe and stuff, it's very easy just to kind of, like, post up in one little area and, like, hope that you're gonna get something out of it instead of actively, like, maybe searching for it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do think that there is a lot of, like, unfortunately, you know, like, instant gratification stuff that, like, plays into the general atmosphere of, like, fetism and, you know, online stuff and, like, communities and whatnot. A lot of people searching for that, you know, like, instant fix that, you know, a lot of times isn't, like, you know, like, isn't really something that is feasible to happen, like, is a feasible thing. And it's, like, it's understandable to, like, want that, but, you know, it's just really, you know, it's complicated because, you know, we're just people, like, dealing with other people. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, like, horny brain does get to people. And, you know, sometimes the self-awareness just, like, slips because we're not, like, thinking, like, in the right, like, space, because we're, you know, thinking about other stuff. And a lot of people don't, like to, like, engage critically with their, like they don't want to think critically, like, about their fetishes and stuff, because it's, like, this is, like, my, like, fetish, like, I'm horny, like, I'm just trying to, like be horny and have fun.
Yeah,
but I do think that it is really important to engage, like, thoughtfully and critically with, like, the fetishes that you have, especially when like you have a fetish that does, you know, come with like a large community of people.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of like on different ends of the spectrum with that, because thinking critically does help when it comes to like, you know, the intricacies of the fetish, because it is very kind of like wrapped up with like, you know, fat people and fat phobia and like all these like actual society things. But even if you don't want to go there, like you don't want to go like on that end of the spectrum, being a little bit more thoughtful about it, like, still helps you have a better time, I think, because then you know like what you like and what you're looking for, and then you can, you know, even if it's not instant gratification of just getting something like that's gonna work right now, you can find your perfect little niche within the fetish to kind of like get the most satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess especially since we're talking about sex work and fetishism and stuff, I was wondering, I guess, like, have you noticed any differences between the way that fetus clients treat you versus non-fetus clients? Or
yes, it's so weird. It's so weird, like the dichotomy between, you know, like my like non-fetus clients and like my fetus ones. And it's also wild because, you know, like, well, like, you know, we'll talk about it later and stuff, how, you know, like race and, you know, stuff intersects with that as well. What I've noticed is my fetus clients usually do, as a blanket, have a generally like just more like fine-tuned like respect for me and like what I'm doing and like the product that I put out, whereas like my non-fetus clients, the one who have like, you know, like general fetish and stuff like that, are usually more prone to like, what's it called, devaluing certain things, whereas like my fetus clients don't, like they like as a blanket they usually like have a better understanding of like the time and like my time and like the effort and like the energy and like the product that, you know, they're asking for, that I put out, versus like my non-fetus ones who are just, you know, like into porn and stuff. They usually have less of a grasp on like the actual amount of like work things take. So yeah, usually a more like not even like less respect or anything. It's just more like more of just them like, sort of just like devaluing certain things, that,
and not understanding like the amount of work that goes into what you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense, especially because I feel like fetishism is such an involved fetish. So like when you do like go to a sex worker and you're like, I want a stuffing, or, you know, I want to see like kind of a weight gain comparison or something, they, you know, that it requires like clothes and props and food, and it's like it's a whole thing, especially if you're into gaining, you know, that inherently that there is work being put into it behind the scenes that you don't always see. If someone is like gaining weight at like a particular rate, like then yeah, they're probably eating a lot off the clock too. So it makes sense that fetus would be more mindful of that. And I kind of have noticed that too. I think, you know, there's going to be a spectrum with like every kind of community of clients that you have. But when it comes to fetishism, it seems like people are very, usually very respectful and usually very clear with what they want and like totally down to like bring the ideas to you, but then have like the recipe kind of like up to you when it comes to like what are rates, like what is fair, and all Absolutely. That stuff.
Yeah, I agree. That's definitely been my experience. Yeah, I do, you know, experience a difference with those. But, you know, luckily for me, at like this point in my career, I'm at the point where most of my clients are fetists, and most of the work that I do is fetus work. Oh, thank God. Because I mean, like I said, you know, like I love it. Like I love it. So it's really honestly more now me like having to deal with and maneuver the differences between, you know, like how I interact within, you know, like within our niche.
Yeah, which is kind of the fun part too, because then you get to like find out like what I always find it really interesting, like what people come to me with, you know, because it has to do with like the brand that you have, but then also like what people want from you, which could be kind of different. So then it kind of makes this own little entity with the content that you do. And I always find that really interesting, like what people like want from you versus like, you know, what is your kind of set point too.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's really fun to find out, to see how like things evolve over time and like what stuff that people want to see you do and how that interacts with like the stuff that you would actually like, you know, go out of your way to get done. But it's also fun because like having the fetish in general, because a lot of times the stuff that you want to get done is the stuff that people want to see.
Yeah, I love it. And then I always really love like interacting with like customers and clients who like are so into knowing like how what I feel about their ideas, or like adding on to their ideas, or just like collaborating with like fetishes and fantasies to make like, you know, something that we both put a lot of like time and care and effort to. It's just fun. It's like such a it's such a creative thing when you find people who like are so down to like, you know, work with you as well as their own, adding their own fetishes into the mix. That's always really fun.
Yeah, it's really an enriching experience, like honestly, you know, and it definitely is one of those things where it, you know, reinvigorates like my love for sex work, fetishism, content creation, all of it, you know, because it is such a creative, interactive thing to do. Like it's really just so much fun, and creating a product that, you know, like is something that is lasting and you can go back to and you know that someone's going to enjoy like over and over again, it's just unmatched. Love that feeling.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. It's like a joy. Yeah, so kind of moving on to like some other things, I wanted to ask you this question because I think you would have a pretty interesting take, and I've been thinking about this like kind of a lot. Would you consider fetishism like a radical fetish, or maybe practicing it like a radical act?
Absolutely, like totally 100%. Especially if you're a fetus, like yeah, practicing, I mean really anywhere, but especially if you're, you know, American fetus, like, you know, we are all like, we live in such a fatphobic society, like quite like literally, like since we are kids growing up till we're adults, literally middle-aged, like fat phobia is ingrained in like every step of our development and processes, our hobbies, our sensuality, like our relationships, like literally, like fat phobia is literally ingrained in so much of that. It is like, I quite frankly, it's impossible for like something like genuinely like getting to the point where you genuinely not only like tolerate the presence of fatness in yourself and in other people, not only tolerating it, because that's where a lot of people get to, and they, you know, think that that's like, you know, like, it's like the peak is, you know, tolerating their fat body, tolerating other people's fat bodies. It's like, no, dude, like, you can, like, not only tolerate, but love, genuinely get, like, fulfillment and enjoyment and arousal and, like, satisfaction and, like, true joy from, like, your fat body and other people's fat bodies. And that's absolutely 100%, like, radical, because every, like, quite literally every facet of society is pushing back against us. Like, doctors, scientists, the media, the people, like, aesthetics, like, you know, like, it's all, like, everything is fighting against, you know, people wanting to be comfortable, like, in their fat bodies, and not just comfortable with it, but, oh, like, eroticizing it. Oh, goodness, like, literally, so many components of, you know, society are actively fighting against that. So it's absolutely radical to allow yourself to exist in a space where none of that can touch you. Like, I tell myself that all the time. Like, I'm a strong ass bitch. Like, I'm like really, like, like, to exist in the space where none of that, like, can take away from me anymore. Like, I'm definitely living radically, because that is not the reality for so many people. And the platform that, you know, like, I run off of, you know, radical self-acceptance and body positivity, and, like, that's also ties into, like, my bimbo stuff, because, you know, it's just like, yeah. Yeah, I'm answering your question, yes 100%. Radical to have this fetish. We are living a radical lifestyle. I do think it is because society pushes back so hard. Do I think that they should? No, it shouldn't be a radical thing that we're doing, because we're just people who exist in bodies that exist. Like, our bodies are real, normal, like, tangible things. So it shouldn't be radical that we, like, have the fetish that we do, but it is because of the society that we live in.
Yeah, I totally feel that. I would probably credit, like, fetism as being, like, a huge part of, like, how I've been radicalized, basically, because, like, not only when I was first, like, you know, perusing the internet and, like, stumbled upon it, not only did fetism, like, kind of, so I found fetism at the same time that I found body positivity, back when body positivity was more about fat liberation. Mm-hmm. So, like, interacting with those at the exact same time, like, while I was kind of, like, in the grips of, like, trying to overcome my eating disorder, like, really, really radicalized me into, you know, going about things very differently when it comes to my body, as well as when it comes to, like, overall society. And, like, I think that's something that a lot of people do experience in this fetish, but they don't, you know, they might not put the words to it, of saying, like, oh yeah, I've been radicalized by fetism, because, like, not many people think of it that way, but that's, like, what's happening, you know, because it's such an interesting doorway, but also it makes so much sense to be the doorway to, like, that liberation, as well as, like Stavita said in a couple episodes back, like, once you figure out, like, you know, that, you know, fat people shouldn't be treated badly, then of course you're going to apply that to literally, like, everybody else, you know, when it comes to, like, race, gender, like, ability, like, it just kind of all falls into place.
Exactly.
And you mentioned how your bimbo stuff kind of also feeds into that. I would love to know more about just how you go about, like, bimbofication, like, what your story is behind that, and also why you would also consider that to be radical as well.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, it really is a thing that I draw slightly kind to what I said about fetism. The stigma that people have towards, like, bimbos, like, when you, like, if you Google bimbo, like, it's going to tell you, like, vapid, like, unintelligent, probably, you know, mean, doesn't care about anyone, only cares about, like, aesthetics. And so, you know, like, that's the stigma for bimbos. And I get it. I get it, because, you know, like, that's generally what the trend has been over time, what's been, like, exemplified in media and stuff. But to me, being a bimbo really is first and foremost about radical self-acceptance. Radical self-acceptance, thinking, and not just thinking, but, like, knowing that, like, you're hot shit, no matter what anyone thinks about your style, your body, the way that you present yourself. It's first and foremost knowing, like, you are hot shit. Like, you are hot. Like the body that you exist in, what it looks like right now, what it looks like in 2 months, what it looks like in 2 years. It's hot shit. And no one is able to take that away from you. Like, no one can say anything that, like, that makes it less true. It just is what it is. And it, like, you know, it really is, you know, just existing in a space where I allow myself to give myself the space to indulge in things that make me feel good. You know, for a lot of bimbos, it's clothes and makeup and hair. For me, it's, you know, food, community, sex work, anarchism, leftism, you know, just all of those things that make me feel good. It's really, like, it's the indulgence in things that make you feel good because they make you feel good. And that's really it. What those things are, they might be other things that help, but one of my things that make me feel good that I do just because it makes me feel good is community. So I, you know, ipso facto, it ends up being something that helps other people. But bimbos, because it's just for me, I'm doing it because it's something that makes me feel good, period.
And that's such, like, a fetus mentality too.
Mm-hmm. You know, the hedonism, you know.
Yeah. I just realized that there might be some people listening to this who don't know what bimbos or bimbofication is. So would you mind, like, actually, like, describing, like, what it kind of means, maybe in, like, maybe popular culture, and then maybe what being a bimbo means to you? Because, I mean, you kind of already mentioned it, you know, what it particularly it means to you, but yeah.
You know, the general idea of, you know, like, a bimbo, what's been exemplified in media would be, you know, the popular, vapid, very self-centered hot girl who is blonde and has big tits and wears a lot of pink. You know, she's really into makeup and hair and clothes and cares about aesthetics a lot, and it's just like that. You know, she's that girl. That's, you know, the bimbo. Usually some people assign characteristics of promiscuity. Usually the girl is, you know, sexualizes herself, is sexualized by other people. But yeah, that's normally what a bimbo is in popular media. Over time, luckily, what I really like about over time, people don't really view, there is, like, still a lot of negative stigma against bimbos. But it's shifted less into being, like, these people are just, you know, like, mean hot girls, into these are just people who, like, care their aesthetics and, like, they're hot, are very confident, really bad, like, very, very confident. You know, we still do get the characteristics of blonde and pink assigned. I do subscribe to those, even though I do, you know, like, most of my wardrobe is black. But it's funny, if you look at my closet, literally just mostly black, and then there's, like, two sections that are just baby pink. So yeah, like I do absolutely subscribe. And the blonde, I also am usually blonde in some way. But yeah, and it's, you know, like it's the and it's also like a very specific like role play headspace that you can get in. Like I also compare it to, you know, like I call myself like a bimbo. It's just like a personality descriptor, but it also is like a thing like that you like, it's a space, like a space that you can get into in certain times, where, you know, it's that the no thoughts, head empty. You know, that can be either, you know, like sexual, non-sexual, doesn't have to be like, for some people, like bimbo vacation is like meditation, like where, I mean, honestly, that's what it is a lot for me, like no thoughts, head emptying it, because I do genuinely like have a lot of thoughts. I am thinking a lot of the time, like very critically about a lot of things. So when I do, you know, like allow myself the space to empty it out of there, I do think that that is fair. Like, honestly, and this is tying more into like the radicalness, I do think it's radical when I do allow give myself the space to indulge in things like stuff that just makes me happy. When I do give myself the space to empty my brain out of sorts and just focus on stuff that makes me feel good, I do think that is like radical in and of itself, because of a lot of the societal things that get imposed onto me that intersects with, like, you know, like race and class and stuff, though, you know, but but yeah, no, bimboism definitely radical, because, you know, people are gonna force ideals onto you, but that's not what it is. But you still absolutely can subscribe to the label, be the person that you are, indulge in the things you want to indulge in, regardless of what anybody thinks about it.
Yes. Oh my God. I love all of that. And I'm like, I have so many thoughts about that, especially now that you kind of like gone a little bit more in depth, especially when it comes to like, you know, the no thoughts, like head empty thing, like as a way of like self-care. It's like such a thing, and it reminds me of actually a couple of Youngblood songs. Brain Dead in particular, or like Doctor Doctor, where like he basically just talks about how he just wishes that he was stupid, like so bad, because of having to be constantly like aware and like, you know, being smart enough to know what the fuck is going on with society and like how broken it is. And then yeah, he just thinks, like, I just want to be pretty brain dead. Like, mm-hmm. Such a vibe. It's such a vibe. Yeah, and also when it comes to, like, I know some people take it as, like, a fetish. Some people take it as, like, kind of, like, a lifestyle. And that reminds me also of, like, how fetishism kind of works. Because it is, you know, a lifestyle. And it does have to do with, like, appearances and, like, mindset. And for a lot of people I know, they who like self-identify as bimbos really are into the self-modification aspect of it too, the body modification aspect of it, which is such a fetus thing. So it's like there are way more connections that people might not even realize that are kind of that are there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The body modifying, yeah. That's also another part of it that I subscribe to. I'm absolutely like totally a sucker for, like, I love it in myself and other people too. Just changes, like, quite frankly, like eroticize changes in people's form. Like, I just think it's so hot when people like that we can do that, like that we can change our forms. Like that's so cool. Like, you can look the way that you look right now, and then in 6 months have something be entirely different, and then like a year after that have it be like the same as it was before, or like entirely different again. That's just so cool to me.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, it really is, and it's incredible. that's one of my, you know, like, favorite parts of feedism has been, you know, like, watching, you know, being able to, you know, watch people change and grow in real time. And I can definitely vouch for at least, like, myself in saying that over time, the more that I, you know, get comfortable with, like, my feedism, and the more that time progresses in general, like, the more confident that I get, you know, happy with my body and stuff that I am. And a lot of people, like, you know, would think that that's, like, outrageous, like, you know, but no, yeah, definitely I'm at the highest weight that I've ever been in my whole life, and feel the best about, like, my body and my appearance that I ever have in my
life. Yeah, and that's just so satisfying too, especially when you do add in, like, whether, you know, it does kind of go with, like, bimbofication or whatever, but, you know, styling yourself as well, and, like, you know, not only changing your body, but, you know, just, like, your general appearance, and just going for what you think is, like, I don't know, your personal ideal of, like, beauty, or what you would like to embody. I think it's, like, such a weird, like, magical thing. It's like fucking fetish glamour magic almost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, okay, well, it ties it back again into, you know, like, race and class structure and stuff, but I definitely do even feel like it's radical that I allow myself the space to grow and change in the ways that make me feel good about my body, even though capitalism definitely, like, de-incentivizes the changes that I want to make. Like, it's not, like, capitalism isn't going to do me any favors, like, gaining more weight or, you know, appearing more alternative. Like, it's not going to do me any favors because of that. So it's definitely radical, the fact that I'm, like, I don't care. Like, I don't, like, I'm not going to, and I'm not going to internalize capitalism that much, that I'm going to allow it to control what I do, the vessel that I live in.